welcome to the alumni.
Joe wants to know if he's an alumni yet.
Not yet.
That's just wrong, but accurate. But wrong.
Says the Gemara Megillah.
First parak. Towards the very end, though. Did it already? Not yet. No. Okay.
And so many of you showed him asked his kasha on last week's parsha. And this is what the Gemara really is focused on last week's parsha. The Gemara says that in the end of last week's parsha, he told the middle part. I gave you the pshat last week.
Yeah. He told us the question last week.
The jealousy, the brothers?
Yeah.
So the Gemara last week, last week's parsha, many asked the question based on the Gemara Megillah, that we know when Yosef introduced himself to the brothers and said hello, met them all, he said goodbye, and he sent them back to visit the father Yaakov and the families and bring them to Mitzrayim. And when he said goodbye to them, he gave them all pardon gifts. But he gave Binyamin extra pardon gifts. He gave Binyamin $300, whatever, 300 shekel, and he gave Binyamin 5 changes of clothing, and not only 1 change of clothing, as he gave the other brothers. The Gemara Megillah says, I don't understand. I'll read the question to you inside. It says the Gemara, the same tzaddik, is it possible? The same tzaddik, Efshar Dabar should inspire by Osa tzaddik, the same thing, which is treating people differently, that caused this tzaddik Yosef to be thrown in jail, to be arrested, to be thrown in Mitzrayim, to be lost from his father for 22 years. The same issue. And Yichasho Bo, and he does the same thing. He stumbles on the same issue. He favored Binyamin over the other brothers. How could it be? Didn't he learn the lesson of favoritism? That's the question that Gemara Megillah asks. It gives an answer. I'm not going to get to that answer that explain what I know it does, but if you ask me, that's a question. That's a great question anyways. I mean, that's, of course, the Gemara, so it's a great question. But I can answer that question very simply. Number one, they were the only ones that were really full-fledged brothers. They shared a mother. No one else shared a mother. Binyamin didn't throw him into a pit, try killing him. Certainly, you can imagine that there is a clear difference between Yosef and Binyamin relationship and Yosef and every other brother relationship. And yet, the Gemara is bothered. How can Yosef show favoritism? Okay, fine. Sensitivity one has to have about not being too nice to this person. Like Yaakov himself was, showed favoritism to Yosef. They were all his children, and they were all upset about it. So how could Yosef here demonstrate love, extra love, to Binyamin? The Gemara gives an answer. People talk about the answer. I'm not going to right now. What bothers me much more, though, is this expression. I can understand what Yosef did to Binyamin, but I can't understand what Yaakov does to Menashe and Ephraim. Here comes Yaakov, and we can pause inside just to see like the full-fledged, like how painful this must have been to Menashe. Is he goes and he calls Yosef for a bracha. Yosef comes and he brings his children to Menashe. And we're told that that Yosef lines him up in a way where to facing, again, on the facing Yaakov, he puts on Yaakov's right-hand side, on the left, he puts Menashe, the older son, and on the other side, he puts Ephraim, Yosef's older son, and Ephraim, Yosef's younger son. Figuring that Yaakov will put his hands like this, right hand deserves to go to the older of the Menashe, the left hand should go to Ephraim. And sure enough, when his dad gives a bracha, he pulls the fullest like he did last year, first crossover in the history of crossovers, and he puts the children, the right hand on Ephraim, the left hand on Menashe. Yosef thinks, my father must not have realized the order I placed him in. And you have like some strange like physical struggle. Yosef is trying to pick up the hands. Says that he tries to pick up his hands. Rashi says he's trying to pick it up to remove them and put them on the right way. And he says, Dad, you made a mistake. I'll read the words to you. He says, Vayishlach Yisrael Zimino Vayashes al Rosh Ephraim Luhatzair Viasmolo al Rosh Menashe Sikelos Yadav Ki Menashe Abachor. And then he gives a bracha to Yosef. And then he says, Vayar Yosef. Yosef realizes, oh my gosh, that my father's hands are reversed. Vayismoch Yadav. He tries to lift up, says Rashi, the hands of his father. He's like pulling his father's hands up off the heads to remove them from. And you have like this like fight, like between grandfather. He's never dying on the bed. The son is trying to pick his hands up from having crossed him over. And his father's fighting him. Yosef says, Dad, you don't understand. But Yosef says, Lo Kenavi. No, Dad, you made a mistake. I switched it for you in advance. Kizeh Bechor. The one on your right, I already put there as your Bechor. Put right hand on Menashe. Sim Yimincha Arosho. Okay, now, by the way, Menashe and Ephraim, just so you know, were not deaf. They could hear everything going on right now. Listen to what Yaakov says to Yosef in front of his children. In front of his grandchildren. Vayimayin Aviv. His father said, no, no. I know, my son, I know, I'm aware of who is where. And you know what? Menashe, gam hu yelam, he'll also be an am. He'll also be yigdal, he'll also one day be something.
The ulam, but you should just know. This guy over here, achiv akaton, much better than him. Yigdal mimenu. Vizaru yim malegoyim. He's going to be a man of many nations. He's going to be much better than the other one. And that's why I put the right hand on his hand. Now, can you imagine Menashe trying to get a bracha from his dying grandfather, who he got to know a little bit later in life, and he hears in front of him say, he's a nice guy. He'll be pretty good also. But oh, this one is the gem. This one deserves my right hand. How could the same Yaakov, for merely giving, never voiced his love, and probably, he never said, I love Yosef more than you. He's better than you. But he did give him extra treatment, a nicer coat. He lost him for 22 years. We're asking the Gemara Megillah, how could Yosef treat them differently? Binyamin, when we know why Binyamin is different from Yosef than all the other brothers are. And we have no problem with what Yaakov does over here. I didn't see anyone ask this question. I saw the Emissary Yaakov ask a separate question, which is how could he give brachas to Yosef's children and not all the Shvatim's children? A similar question. But as explicitly insulting, I guess you could say, to Menashe, he's a good guy. He's good also. But he's better. So wouldn't you, can you imagine a younger brother, an older brother being told, your father thinks that your brother is better than you? Maybe we have complexes and we believe that, if that's the case. But to actually hear from your grandfather's mouth, he's better than you are. Now, he's not saying it, I'm guessing. He's telling you, like, with knowledge. That's an insulting thing. You can imagine Menashe would be like heartbroken. And yet he has no reaction. So I have two questions to ask you. Question number one is, what was Yaakov thinking to even give a bracha like this? And make a statement like this in earshot of the boys. And number two is, how did Menashe not react? And, and pull a Achay Yosef and throw his brother into a pit? Or something like Chayin and Hevel would have done. How is he able to sit and take it so easily? So let's start with first things first. We'll answer the question for Yaakov. We have to defend Yaakov. So Emes Yaakov, Yaakov gets a beautiful pshat to explain what Yaakov was thinking. So number one, he said, you should know that Ephraim and Menashe were very different regarding their upbringing. Even though they were born both in Mitzrayim, their names tell the whole story, says the Yaakov Metzi. If you look, he says, even when they were named, when Yosef has his two children, and he names them, I'll read to you inside, he names them in a way where you see that on his mind is, when he names Menashe, is his father. He still thinks about his father. And when he names Ephraim, his father's a little bit out of the picture already. I'll read to you inside, if I can find it. Here. Like, Yigra Yosef Shem Bechor Menashe, in Perek, Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun Aleph, that Yosef calls his firstborn Menashe, Ki Nashani Elokim is Kol Melev, as Kol Beis Avi. He mentions his father's house, it still rings in his ears, he still speaks of his father. Hashem allowed me to forget all my toiling and pain at my father's house, but he still talks of, I forgot about it, but he still talks of his father's house. But what about, what is his name when he named Ephraim? What does he name him? He says, Hashem Hashem Yikar Ephraim, Ki Ephraim Elokim Beretzini, Hashem allowed me to be fruitful and multiply in the land of my affliction. There's no mention of father's house. Yaakov is a vision of the past. He doesn't even appear in the naming. Like when people talk about why they name the kids, what they name them, usually will often refer back to their past and what made a difference to them. So when Menashe was named, Yosef refers back to his past and his father and his home. But when Ephraim is named, there's no mention of the past, no mention of the home, only of the current land of Mitzrayim right now. And therefore he was raised, he was named with thoughts not involved in Yaakov and in Bnei Yisrael. It's already one strike against Ephraim. He says, even his name is an Egyptian name. Now, obviously, we name our kids Ephraim. But the name, what are the, give me some Egyptian names that you know of. Egyptian names.
Potiphar.
Pei, Resh, we'll give you more. Shifra, Pua, Tzafnas, Paneach, Ephraim. Those are all the same, you find the same. Also, good question, Moshe, excellent question. Both, a great question. So you have all these names appearing that are Pei, Resh, Tzafnas, Paneach, Ephraim, Menashe, Shifra, Pua. He says it was an Egyptian name he was given even. Menashe is a Jewish name. It's a Yiddish name. Ephraim is an Egyptian name, says Rabbi Akmeski. Not only that, further, even further. Who was the one who was the Melitz, the translator? Which son?
Ephraim.
Not Ephraim. Ephraim didn't know Hebrew probably. Menashe. We say Menashe was the translator between the brothers and Yosef. Because he knew Hebrew, he knew the language. Everything about Menashe was still rooted in tradition. But Ephraim was not. And therefore it says, Rashi even, that when, in this week's Parsha, that when word spread to Yosef that his father was calling him, who came and told him? Ephraim. You know why? Because Ephraim used to learn Torah with Yaakov. Why? Because Ephraim was a little bit of a Kiruv project. He wasn't named a Jewish name. It wasn't on Yosef's mind when he named him even. He didn't know Hebrew, it sounds like. And Yaakov had to be Makariv Ephraim. And therefore, says Rakhonetsi, Ephraim needed an extra strong bracha. He needed a greater bracha than Menashe. Because Menashe grew up in a home, I remember like years ago, that's just off the record, actually, really, I hope my parents listen to this right now, but years ago, I was learning with one of the Rebbeim here in the yeshiva, and for like, I used to learn with him during the year, as a Seder. After the Seder was Seder, the boy was with Rebbe. And he would tell me all about his youth growing up, and I'm like, you know, about Rabbi, this was in his house, Rabbi, that was in his house, and like how these were his role models. This is where his daily life was, in and out with these rabbis. I'm picturing my upbringing, and I'm very pleased with my upbringing, but it was far from that. So for me, I'm a Kiruv project. I didn't grow up with these rabbis and watching people who are so holy and so special. And so you see a person who's able to grow up in that way, and they grow up as a special person. And now a person like myself who grows up in a way where that's not their, you know, the hanging on my wall were not necessarily pictures of Rabbanim and Gedolim. So Nebuchadnezzar. So I grew up with those role models. And therefore I'm a Kiruv project. I have to be Baal Tshuva. And Yaakov Avinu had to take Ephraim and sit there and teach him and educate him like a Baal Tshuva. And Ephraim was a Baal Tshuva. And he needed a greater bracha, said Rabbi Kamenetsky. He needed a greater bracha, a stronger bracha, to make sure that he would last without the proper root that he was not given when he was first born and raised in Mitzrayim. So maybe we understand a little bit now, even though it doesn't mean it wouldn't cause jealousy, but I understand what was Yaakov's motivation. But how did Menashe hear what happened and not flip out? I say that, by the way, not in a religious terminology. Didn't go crazy. Didn't like, you know, have road rage, have bracha rage. Why not? So this over here is something I like to suggest. I'm not sure if it's true, but I like to suggest to you. Is picture the following. I just closed it, unfortunately. Picture the following scene. Here you are, and you can do this one of two ways. You can say, listen to one of two ways. Menashe hears the following statement. Yadati bni yadati, gam hu yelam, gam hu yigdal. You hear that? My grandfather, who's an Av, just told me I'm going to be great one day. And you can shut off your ear and be so happy. I'm so happy with that information. Wow. Or, like most people in the world, and you'd be like, did he say that he's going to be better than me? He'll be a millionaire. He'll be a billionaire. Now, most people be like, a millionaire? Me? Fantastic. I'm so excited. It's great news. My brother's going to be a billionaire? That makes me upset. I'm angry right now. I have a brother better than I am. When people live in this world, they're so often looking over the shoulder at what's he like? What does he have that I don't have? And it just eats away at you. Because I can guarantee you one thing, that you'll never have the best this, that, and the other thing. You never have best everything. Someone's bought a better place. They bought the only location that was on the ocean. You could buy the ocean property, they bought it already. You get a beautiful house, but I couldn't get the ocean house. Oh, I'm so angry, I'm so upset. You have a beautiful home. Kids, I have 6 kids, he has 7 kids. Oh, I want another kid. Okay, so you can either listen with the ear that tells you how great you could be, or that someone else will be better than you. And when you hear that someone else will be better than you, so everything you shut down. How could that be? I'm so angry, I'm so upset. They're better than I am. And the fact that they told you, you're going to be great one day. You'll be fantastic. It means nothing to you anymore, because you're so angry that someone else has a chance to be better than you. The truth is, if you let your happiness be based on someone else, their failures, and that's where your happiness is, you're in for a very, very difficult life. This past week, sports, here's my sports for the week. This past week, and it happens every year since 1972, the Dolphins, the last championship team that went undefeated from the whole regular season and won the Super Bowl. Every year, when the last team loses, they toast. Whoever's around who still wants to do this, whoever's a big enough loser, gets together, and Don Shula is the coach and the head of the losers, and he calls them together, and he toasts with them that we're still the only undefeated championship team in the NFL 1972. One day, let's say this year, the Colts wouldn't have just decided to give in the game. They would actually play their starters and won, as if they cared to break the 72 Colts record. Okay, let's say they would have done that one there. So now, does that make 72 Kol Dolphins less of an accomplishment? No. They were perfect. They had a perfect year. No matter what anyone else ever says or does, they're perfect. No one can ever take it, but they don't believe that. They need you to fail for them to feel so special. Otherwise, I'll just be part of a group of special people. I don't want to be part of other people who are special. I want to be the only guy who's special. And if you can succeed also like I can, then I'm not so great anymore. Nebuch. They retired 35 years ago, 37 years ago, and they still, to this day, their happiness will be diminished if someone else can accomplish the same feat they did. Grow up. Like, it's okay. Someone else can also be good. You can be good, and they can be good. You should only care about yourself. If someone else's success drives you mad, that means that the problem lies in you, not in them. The Dolphins should toast every year when Super Bowl happens because they're champions. As every team since then should be toasting that they're also champions. But the fact, and by the way, what the Colts did is the biggest slap in their face, by the way. Because no one really cares if you're undefeated or not. They don't care. They want to win a Super Bowl. You're busy toasting. These people, they cash in. They didn't care about that at all. That's all that you care about. If your happiness depends on else's failure, that's a very, very sad statement. I'll tell you two one-liners that demonstrate the opposite of that. One's from the movie and one's from the Torah. The one from the movie is a movie that everybody else recorded in passing this year. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's called Good Will Hunting. There was a scene in Good Will Hunting where, and it takes place in Boston, and it was really where Matt Damon and Ben Affleck got their start from, really. And there was a scene there where they're talking, Ben Affleck was this somewhat stupid construction worker, just intellectually not so powerful, and then his friend was like a genius. They both were in construction, and one day he says to his friend, he says, why don't you, make something of yourself? He goes, are you kidding me? I want to be just like you. I want to be here together. I want to 20 years from now, I want our kids to play together. And Ben Affleck, who is not so bright, says a very bright line to his very bright friend. He says, you should know if you're in 20 years from now living on my block and stricken with poverty like we currently are and working with our hands every single day, I'll kill you myself 20 years from now. He says, every day, you know the happiest day of my day, every day, as he says to him, every day when I pull up to your house to pick up for work, 20 seconds I walk to your door, and I hope that you skip town and went to make something of yourself. This is my happiest day every day, is hoping that you're not there when I pick you up in the day. Because when a person can be happy for somebody else, I have what I have. I have my own issues to deal with. I have my own life to work on. And that's my own issue, and I'll deal with that. But for me to be basing my life on you and on your successes and failures, so that makes me pathetic. And he said to his friend, I wish you would do something. You know what? So you'll be rich and I'll be this guy who works in construction. I'm okay with that. But make something of yourself. What you're supposed to do, get it done. Don't worry about what I'm doing with my life. I'm taking care of myself. Take care of yourself. Menashe said over here, you hear that? I'm great. My brother Ephraim is better than me. Good for him. What does it do with me? You know, when Aaron heard that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come to town to save the Jewish people, now you can imagine, he'd be a little bit, why Moshe? I'm older. I'm also pretty righteous. This guy's been out of town for years already. Here he comes on his white horse and saving the day. What about me? I've been sitting here with everyone else. He was so b'samach b'leivav. He was so happy in his heart. His younger brother, upstaging older brother, what does he care? He's Aaron HaKohen. He's got an important position in life also to do. Now, could he have, and would many of us have, looked over our shoulder all the time and be like, upset? It wasn't me who did it? Many of us probably would have. We'd be called pathetic. Because you have an important job also in life. And his job, if he would have been looking at Moshe the whole time, I wish, he would have had that job, would have failed also. And in life, we go so often looking at somebody else and saying, I wish, if only. And you don't see what bracha you have in your own eyes. How Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me the greatest things in life because someone else something that we think is better than that. And therefore, we live our life constantly chasing that which we don't have instead of focusing on how lucky we are what we do have. If there was a student, let's say a child of mine, that was an 80 student, B minus was his max. Now this child of mine who can get a 95. And my 80 student, my 80 child gets an 80, and my 95 child gets a 92. My 80 child's better. He's better. He got a lower grade, but he's better. Because he's 100% of what he could do. 100%. And the other one's not 100%. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what grade you got on your test. It matters what you made out of what you were supposed to have made. And if you always look at someone else who's smarter and better looking and a better athlete and a prettier wife and a nicer family and a bigger house, you will never make anything of your lives. Because you're always focusing on that which somebody else has that you don't have. And that is what Yaakov realized. And he realized it a long time ago. Yaakov didn't want to steal Esau's bracha. Esau could be Esau. I'll be Yaakov. He'll do his job maybe and be a fighter for Jewish people, and I'll be a tzaddik. I'll learn each time I shave all in. I'm fine with that. We're different. And Yosef, he's different. And I'm treating him differently. And you know what? Every child is different. And you're all different. And you don't expect the same treatment from people. Treat your kids differently. It's fine. They're not the same. Someone's more sensitive. Some need to be given a little more strict punishments. They're different than each other. Why would we think to educate everyone the same? They're not all the same. We're all different. And therefore, when you look in the mirror trying to figure out what to do with your life, don't look at your friend. You know why people love, you know why, as we mentioned in your post, the longest running story is Tiger Woods? Because people love when role models fail. You know why? Because it makes them feel better about themselves. This guy's a role model. And even he sticks. Which, so I have two choices. Either I can make myself go up, or I can bring someone else down. That's much easier for me, and I get the same accomplishment. I'm closer to my role model than I was beforehand. It's great. My role model fails, that makes me feel more successful. Because I'm like my role model more now. So either I have to work really hard, or he fails, I feel better at myself. It's great. If you're looking, and by the way, you should all have role models. Not role models, you should all have role models. But you should have role models to have people who inspire you, not people who you feel better about when they fail. My role model is not going to fail. You want to hang someone on your wall, don't hang a guy who happens to throw pigskin around and run fast on other people, and in his spare time has domestic violence and he gets killed by his fiance. Find a different role model, perhaps. And you know, he changed his life around. Okay, he was. It's true. He also, apparently at that time, was screaming, I'm going to jump off the truck and kill myself if you don't stop this car. And he ended up dying. Find a role model who you're not disappointed by. Use him as a means not of, I want to be him, but I'm inspired, I want to be me better because of him. And Yaakov said to himself, why can't we take that perspective? I'm giving a bracha to Menashe. He could hear my entire bracha. He could be insulted. I'd be pathetic. Because I said somebody else, nice about somebody else, so therefore I feel like I feel bad. Or he could say to himself, my dad said I'm going to be great. My grandfather said I'll be fantastic one day. Wow. But he'll be better than you. Okay, so he's 95, so now I'm 80. I'm getting 80. And hopefully he'll get a 95. I root for him also. Do you know how many people that are your age, I remember when I was in Israel for the year, they get their highs from your lows. They get excited when people fail around them. You don't have to raise your hand if that's you. But if it is you, you get to question why. The only reason why is because you have two choices. You either get your high because you feel like you're good and you're working strong and it makes you proud, because someone else is less good and makes you proud because you're not as bad as you thought beforehand. Which we zocher to take a lesson of. We give our kids a bracha every day, every Shabbos. We say it in the wrong order, like Yaakov did. You know why? Because Menashe is great. Because he's really the hero of the story. Because he heard Ephraim's name first and he didn't care. Which we zocher that when we hear and see someone else's success in life, we shouldn't only not feel bad, we should be excited for them. And the opposite is that we should realize we should hold people to a high level and expect and demand ourselves not to be them, but to be us, because how great we see people can be. Think about that.